Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Is more than just a choice between two parties and two different candidates. It is a choice about whether we have a country rooted in freedom for every American or ruled by chaos and division.
Somebody was a little slow to put up the applause signs. 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. In the 6 o'clock hour, we talked extensively about the Joe Rogan three-hour sit-down interview with Donald Trump and some very interesting things I thought that came out of that, a different slice of Trump. This was the big address that Kamala Harris gave at the Ellipse, and it got not a lot of coverage, honestly. And so, in an effort to kind of treat both sides and deal with both sides, I'm talking about her. The basic setup, the idea, like the first several minutes of this speech, 8 or so minutes of the speech, were all about Trump, Trump bad, Trump, Trump's evil, Trump's chaos and division, and Trump in January 6th.
We know who Donald Trump is. He is the person who stood at this very spot nearly 4 years ago and sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol to overturn the will of the people in a free and fair election.
And just more on Trump bad.
America, this is not a candidate for president who is thinking about how to make your life better. This is someone who is unstable, obsessed with revenge, consumed with grievance, and out for unchecked power.
And I'm playing this for you because it's the setup to kind of an explanation or a payoff in a moment, but you need to hear this because as much time as she spent on how evil, horrible, dangerous, divisive, hate-filled, raw, greedy for power kind of a man he is, that was really the message of the first quarter to a third of this speech.
Donald Trump has spent a decade trying to keep the American people divided and afraid of each other. That is who he is. But America, I am here tonight to say that is not who we are. That is not who we are.
Very key concept in the speech is that's who they are. That's not who we are. That's who Trump supporters are. That's not who we are. We are better than that. They support him. They are the bad people, right? That's kind of the idea. And in the end of the speech, and again, this is going to, trust me, you'll see why I'm doing this in a second. At the very end of the speech, before she does her kind of America's the greatest place ever, here was the way she closed it out before that.
They did not struggle.
Talking about feminists and Seneca Falls and, you know, struggling for freedom and the vote and power and inclusion, all this, and activists in general.
They did not struggle, sacrifice, and lay down their lives only to see us cede our fundamental freedoms. They didn't do that only to see us submit to the will of another petty tyrant. These United States of America, we are not a vessel for the schemes of wannabe dictators.
Wannabe dictator, petty tyrant, ceding fundamental freedoms. You're getting the gist here, right? That's the core message is he's evil, horrible, terrible, dictator, tyrant. I mean, think about the words she's using, right? And then there's this. And this was the part where you kind of, if you're paying attention and you're thinking, you'll kind of be confused because
America, for too long, we have been consumed with too much division, chaos, and mutual distrust. And it can be easy then to forget a simple truth. It doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way.
just spent like 9 minutes, beginning and end of a speech, explaining how evil, horrible, terrible, divisive, hateful, distrustful, and chaotic this guy and his supporters are, by implication, his supporters, and how we are better than that, and that is not who we are. And now we're just going to all come together and Kamala Umbaya? Like, which is it? You can't have unity if the premise of your unity is unity with the evil ones, the terrible ones. By the way, this is a pattern. One of the things I have noticed about her speeches over the last couple of weeks is I think she's really either been getting coached by Obama or she's getting coached by people who learned from Obama. And I think Biden learned the same lesson, because if you go all the way back to when Obama used to give speeches, he would do this all the time. Now, he didn't do it quite so adamantly because he didn't have Trump as a target. But what he would do is he would talk about unity and getting along and working together in half of the speech, usually the second half of the speech, and then sometimes the first. And then in the other half of the speech, you talk about those evil, terrible Republicans who keep us from doing anything right and want to pursue their own petty politics and want to help the wealthy and don't care about the poor. Building division and then claiming to be the eradicator of division, the great uniter. And they got away with it because very few people have enough intellectual fortitude to keep in mind what somebody said 10 minutes ago when they're listening to what they say 10 minutes in the future. Now, I, as a debater and a philosophy teacher, that's kind of what I've been trained to do. I know not everybody has that skill, so that's why I always brought it out. I was like, the guy would completely contradict himself in the course of 10 minutes. Biden did the same thing, and Kamala Harris is doing the same thing here. I mean, 8 or 9 minutes opening the speech on how evil Trump is, and then it doesn't have to be this way. We don't have to be divided. What now? Your boss is literally calling Trump supporters garbage, but we can unite with the garbage, with the evil ones, with the fascists, with the petty dictators and wannabe tyrants. Really? You can unite with these people? It's amazing. But that aside, that glaring contradiction aside, I thought some parts of the speech were actually quite good. We'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
One accident to let you know about right now that's not causing, it's not in your way. I-10 westbound right around mile marker number 13. That is through that construction zone. It's off to the side of the road, but I'm seeing about a 15, 20-minute delay if you're on I-10 eastbound anywhere between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about where to go for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors, a great selection of good quality, almost new cars. Cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years old. Okay, low miles, 10 to 50 or 60,000 miles. I know we got our car as a one-year-old Honda Odyssey with, I think it was 12 or 13,000. I just forget which one exactly. It had come in from a dealership in Orlando that they bought at an auction, that Frontier bought at an auction, because they didn't get it sold pre-owned certified in 90 days. They put it to auction. I got a sweet deal on my wife's car. I mean, like, really, really good deal. That's the kind of cars they specialize in. Cars that are in good condition that they're going to warranty to 100,000 miles in 10 years. And they're going to be good prices. And you know you can count on it. And they will even follow up, because they're so confident in the quality of the car they're selling you, that they will follow up with you afterwards to make sure everything is okay. I know Calvin, our sales guy, called me 6 months and a year later. Everything okay with the car? And I was kind of like, why are you bothering me? But they're like, one of the keys didn't work. They replaced it. No problem. No charge. Just why? Because you bought a car expecting to get two keys that work, and you get two keys that work. That's what we do. So Frontier is in it for the long haul. They want to sell you this car, the next car, the car after that. Even if that's 5 or 10 or 15 years down the road, they want to sell you all the cars you ever buy. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Oh, by the way, I keep forgetting to say, I'm terrible at the promotion thing. I've just never learned it in all my radio years. I always forget, because I was only talking about substance and I forget to do this stuff. We're doing election coverage tonight. So starting at 7 o'clock, we'll have all your local races. We'll talk about the returns. We'll talk about the implication. Jeremy Evans is going to be with here. Chris and Austin from Pensacola right now are going to be here. We're going to have, you know, people who win. We'll have them on the phone and you can hear from them yourself. So should be a good night tonight covering local, state, and national election returns as they come in. Back to Kamala Harris at the Ellipse. And I said this before. I'll say it again. Is that, I thought that the speech itself was a glaring contradiction. Also, by the way, Weird note, in the last day, she's stopped saying Trump. And it actually came to the attention, like, you know, it was the news people who correctly reported on this that, you know, all of a sudden she's no longer saying his name like he's Voldemort or something. She's been saying his name a lot, and all of a sudden...
One notable shift in these closing hours, after taking on Trump for weeks, slamming him as a fascist and a tyrant, Harris is now not mentioning him by name, calling him the other guy.
This whole era of this other guy, you know, but what it's done with all that talk that's been about trying to have us point fingers at each other.
I personally always think it's stupid when people don't mention their opponents. The theory is you don't want to give them name recognition. Be a person. Especially, I mean, though I wish she wouldn't attack him, I wish she'd tell us what she wants to do and why she's great. You know, he's been doing the same thing, attacking her, and okay, it's politics. But at least he says her name. You know, who does... My opponent. This is the Diplo speak version. Well, my opponent thinks... Just come on now. You know, say it. Anyway, but back to the speech. And by the way, you say, well, how could she possibly do anything different? Oh, it would have been easy. You know how you give this speech? Instead of, like, all the dark and foreboding Trump is a dictator and a tyrant and all of that stuff, here's what you say. You reach out to his voters. You say, look, I know that you like his brash style. I know that you like his honest style. I know that you like the things that you saw during his tenure. The way you reach out to people who disagree with you is by acknowledging the things that they believe in and validating them and then saying, but here's how we can do better, or here's how we can do it differently. And I respect, you can say that, you know, I respect those of you who disagree. I understand why you think he's a good, like, I don't know whether she can't think that way or whether her speechwriters have told her she shouldn't say that kind of stuff. But that, if you're going to be the diplomat, that's the way you do it. Instead of just Trump evil, Trump evil, Trump evil, Trump evil, which, and then you can't really claim to be the great uniter after you've done all that. But she did talk about, you know, I think honestly, in terms of electoral stuff, her strongest position is probably on being pro-choice. Because that's an issue that a lot of people do care about, and a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of unrest over the Dobbs decision. I mean, I'm grateful for it. I think Trump did a good thing. The Supreme Court justices did the right thing that we've been asking them for like 40 years to do. But that's an issue on which I think she had better resonance. And when she talks about these things, you know, I think she's got a little bit better standing in order to make the claim to people.
And I believe in the fundamental freedom of Americans to make decisions about their own bodies and not have their government tell them what to do
with their bodies.
I will fight to restore what Donald Trump and his hand-selected Supreme Court justices took away from the women of America.
Now, again, I don't agree with her on the issue, but it's smart of her to talk about this. It's probably one of the most compelling issues she's got to get people out to vote who believe in the right to choose, right?
And Trump's not done. He would ban abortion nationwide, restrict access to birth control and put IVF treatments at risk.
All three lies.
And force states to monitor women's pregnancies. Just Google Project 2025. And read the plans for yourself.
And then also Google fact check whether Trump is supporting a Project 2025. That's the other part of that, but still.
And when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom nationwide as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law.
So that's, I mean, you know, I think that's in the scheme of winning issues, that's one of her winning issues. You know, that has shown in midterm elections to have power. And though I disagree vehemently with her, I think it's good. She actually had another line that was actually pretty good. She says,
I'll be honest with you, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But here's what I promise you. I will always listen to you, even if you don't vote for me. I will always tell you the truth, even if it is difficult to hear.
You'd have to know enough to know that that's false. But still, I mean, I'll listen to you. That's a good line. Okay, that's a good line. And talking about how she really doesn't like people being taken advantage of. It's what her mama taught her. These are good things to say. This resonates with people.
For as long as I can remember, I have always had an instinct to protect. There's something about people being treated unfairly or overlooked that frankly just gets to me. I don't like it. It's what my mother instilled in me, a drive to hold accountable those who use their wealth or power to take advantage of other people.
I think that's a compelling argument. That's a compelling line to present. And I'm letting her have her say on some of this stuff because it's always important to listen. Always important to listen before you form an opinion. I think she gave a really contradictory assessment of the housing crisis, though. It was really weird because on the one hand, I don't have time to play the full clips for you, but she said home ownership is crucial. It is. And these companies are jacking up prices. And then they're going to cut red tape to get more homes built. Which is it? Is it because if companies are making record profits and jacking up prices, you don't need to cut red tape. They're already getting ahead. You don't need to make it easier for them to build houses if they're already willing. It doesn't make sense, the argument that she's presenting. But in terms of talking about housing, that's a good thing because people are concerned about that. 826 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10 and I-110 are actually flowing pretty good. If you're on Highway 90 through the Pea Ridge area, you're going to see about a 10-minute delay. Also, if you're coming from East Milton into downtown Milton, you're going to see a 10-15-minute delay there also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing all things Thanksgiving, Atlas Beverage Class, flavors that forge the South dinner at Jackson's, Burger and Brew at Atlas, and Angelina's new fall menu debut, along with holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
WSRE PBS invites you to attend the Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration, a Fufu Fest event featuring New York's Sing Harlem Choir, other featured performances, and the Joyful Noise Gospel Competition among local music groups. This afternoon of inspiring song is happening at the Pensacola High School Auditorium from noon till 5 on Saturday, November 9th. Admission is free, and there'll be food trucks on site. Don't miss WSRE's Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration on Saturday.
Florida Senate candidate Don Gates will fight for us.
Because Florida is a free state and Florida is a low tax state. But for many people, Florida is also becoming an unaffordable state. In many markets, availability of housing has declined while housing costs have increased a lot. The price of energy at the gas pump and the electric meter, it's a hardship for many families. And property insurance, if you can get it, is doubling, even tripling, even when homeowners and business owners don't have recent claims or any claims at all. I'm running for the Florida Senate because I'm ready to tackle those tough issues for senior citizens, for small businesses, and for the folks who work every day to make our state exceptional. I'll fight for a free Florida and a low tax Florida and an affordable Florida.
Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
Today is the day. Get out and vote in the general election and be sure to tune in to News Radio 92.3 tonight for full election coverage.
Donnie, I got sent for. An odd thing, you get sent for, you go in alive, you come out dead, and it's your best friend that does it.
All right. 8:30. Wow, gosh, time flies when you're having fun on Election Day. David Wayne's in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, you're right. It is Election Day, and polls are opening across the country. Closing times, though, going to vary. Hawaii and Alaska will be open the latest until about midnight Eastern time. And not only is it Election Day, it's the last day for NFL teams to make trades. They have until 4 Eastern to make any final deals to bolster their rosters for the rest of the season.
All right, David, thanks so much for that update. The Mana Food Pantries and Cordova Mall, Fill the Mayflower, comes up the date. I can't find it all of a sudden.
Fox News.
November 22nd.
82 million Americans voted early. 100 million more eligible to vote on this election day to decide who will be the 47th president of the United States, former President Donald Trump or Vice President Kamala Harris.
With your vote in this election, you can show them once and for all that this nation does not belong to them. This nation belongs to you.
America is ready for a fresh start. Ready for a new way forward where we see our fellow American not as an enemy, but as a neighbor.
Trump there in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Harris in Philadelphia. There are 33 Senate seats and all 435 House seats up for grabs. There are 146 state ballot measures, including abortion rights in 10 states. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 77 degrees. We've got cloudy skies in Pensacola. A cantonment man has died after a crash this morning on I-10. FHP says that man was driving eastbound near mile marker 39 in Santa Rosa County when he ran off the road and hit some trees. The vehicle then caught on fire. The driver died in that fire. Two people are safe after being pulled from a vehicle that was submerged in a retention pond over the weekend. Holly Navarre firefighters responded to that crash on Sunday night at the Elevate Apartments in Navarre. Two people were trapped in the vehicle. Prior to first responders arriving, several bystanders had scaled a fence and attempted to rescue the people. Eventually, fire crews were able to pull a driver and a young boy from the vehicle. Both were unconscious but breathing. EMS provided care, and then the patients were taken to HCA Florida Navarre. We don't have an update today on their condition. A 22-year-old man is sentenced to life in prison for a shooting in downtown Pensacola from June of 2023. Rashawn Lamar Posey was found guilty of attempted second-degree murder and aggravated assault in the case last week. Prosecutors said Posey shot at two men that were talking to women at a food truck downtown. One of those men was shot and paralyzed. The other man wasn't hurt. A second suspect was also arrested in the case, 25-year-old Warren Graham, who is still facing charges of public order crimes and accessory after the fact. He's due back in court in January. A woman says she was attacked last week while waving a political sign supporting Kamala Harris on Pensacola Beach.
I didn't have time to think anything. I tried not to fall down. When she struck me, I was really hurt. I mean, it frightened me.
And that is Holly Shelton Snowden. She talked with Channel 3 about it. She says it happened when a passerby began yelling at her group, then took her sign. She tried to get the sign back and says that's when she was hit in the eye. The Escambia Sheriff's Office is investigating, but so far no arrests have been made. A man who survived the Parkland school shooting will be sharing his legal rights to Nicholas Cruz's name. Anthony Borges announced yesterday he will share the rights with families of some of the other people that were killed by Cruz in 2018 in the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. The deal Borges signed with Cruz prevents Cruz from giving interviews without Borges's consent. Meanwhile, the South Florida Sun Sentinel reports that families of some of those victims will be back in court today. They're trying to settle their case against the Broward County Sheriff's Office. Boaters around Florida being asked to be on the lookout for manatees. The FWC issuing a reminder to boaters yesterday that this is the time of year when they say manatees travel to warmer water sites around the state. Despite their size, manatees can be hard to see, and boaters are encouraged to wear polarized glasses, go slow, and abide by manatee protection zones. Also getting word of a bit of an odd crash that happened in downtown Pensacola last Friday. PPD says a horse carriage crashed into a stationary vehicle. The carriage ended up flipping over. There were several people riding inside. That all happened last Friday night about 9 p.m. The good news is there were no serious injuries. Officers say the crash was an accident. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No new accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly through the construction zone. But if you're coming from East Milton into downtown Milton, you're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
There will be some showers as we go through the day today. 30% chance overall, high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. As you go into Wednesday, rain chances increase. 60% chance of showers, high near 78 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. For Thursday, 50% chance of rain, high near 80 degrees and a low near 71. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 77 degrees in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Cloudy skies across the area. Your money now. Markets this morning are up. The Dow is up 64 points at 41,858.92. S&P 500 up 23 points at 57,36.37. The NASDAQ up 111 points this morning at 18,291.22. 10-year bond rate up a bit, 4.31%. Gold prices up 9.30 at $27.55.50. Silver prices up 37 cents at $32.98. And Bitcoin up over 2,100 this morning at 69,614 even.
Toyota Motor is expected to post its first profit drop in 2 years when it reports second quarter earnings today. The world's largest automaker is nonetheless expected to deliver almost $8 billion in quarterly operating profit, benefiting as drivers in several major markets who opt instead for hybrids. Sherry Redstone won't stay on the board of Paramount Global after the company completes its planned merger with Skydance Media. Bloomberg News first reported the announcement. In honor of Election Day, there are some freebies to take advantage of. Uber and Lyft are both offering a 50% discount for riders going to the polls. Uber Eats is offering 25% off all orders after 6 p.m. local time. And finally, Krispy Kreme is offering a free original glazed donut. No purchase necessary. That's your money now.
Hi, I'm Tom Powers for Milton City Council, and I'm running for a better Milton, not one where the council members fight with the citizens and each other. A Milton that saves our Blackwater River by putting the wastewater plant in the right location and doesn't contaminate our drinking water with forever chemicals. A Milton that works with the state to relieve traffic problems. I want to see Milton grow and thrive and be a place where families come to raise their children. We can do better. Vote Tom Powers.
Paid for and approved by Tom Powers. Milton City Council, Ward 1, C2.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
This November, we have a choice. We can keep the same old politics of division and distraction, or we can choose leadership we can trust. I'm Gay Valamont, and I'm running for Congress to bring us together and focus on what truly matters, our economy, access to health care, and protecting our rights. I won't be distracted by headlines and scandals. I'll be working for you every day. On November 5th, vote for me, Gay Valamont, and let's build a community that works for all of us.
Paid for by Gay Valamont for Congress.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, mornings 5 till 9, before Pep Talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
I was trying to think of a good election day frivolous topic that we could do, and I think I've got it, okay? I think I've got it. It's a little bit of a thinker, a little bit of a thinker. So here's the question. What's your favorite political movie? 437-1620, 437-1620. Of all the political movies that are out there, and there are many, 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 many political movies. I even browse some of the like top 20, top 50, top 100 lists. Like, there's a lot of political movies out there. Do you have one that is your personal favorite? This comes to me because we were just, my wife and I just watched The Candidate with Robert Redford. I mean, I'd seen it before. She had never seen it before. So that is a scary, accurate movie. Like, that is, I mean, that's could have been a documentary. And that's what makes it frightening, is because that's just what happens with so many of these people. Anyway, John, you look like you're a deer caught in the floodlights. I can't quite figure out. You got nothing?
I got nothing right
comes to mind.
Second.
All right. All right. Fair enough.
I'm being honest.
437-1620. I see Meg is searching on her phone. you got it?
Yes,
put her
got
mic
it.
On.
I've
you got
it.
One. Okay. All right.
Yes. Because we were just talking about Kevin Klein.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So Dave.
Dave is a good movie.
I love that movie.
Dave. It's been a while since I've seen that. Every man becomes president, right?
Yeah. It's just wonderful where he takes the place of the president. Mm-hmm. Who's, like, they're trying to hide that he's not in a coma. And it's just hilarious.
That's a theme. There's a Moon Over Parador, which was the In Another Country version of that. That's been made a movie a couple of different times, but okay. it's a great comment.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just a comedy kind of thing. No, that's funny.
I love that one. It's
and then how, you know, anybody can be president, really, with the right production. 437-1620. Somebody here says, Dave, somebody put that on there. Somebody says, we're probably living Dave now.
Oh.
With which one, though? Like, who do you mean? I don't know. I mean, it can't be Biden. Who? When was the last time you saw Biden?
I don't remember.
I guess on a couple of the little, you know, gaffy things that he's done recently when he's been impromptu off script. The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Somebody said All the President's Men. Oh, All the President's Men is such a good movie.
That is a good movie.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Good book.
Yeah. Oh, right. Sad to have to live through it. But, you know, let's see. Not 100% about Charlie Wilson's War. Okay, that is an interesting one. And by the way, this is what I thought this would go to. Is there are a lot of movies that would not qualify as strictly political movies, but when you think about it, they really are.
So they make a statement.
Right, and they talk about, and for example, okay, Platoon.
That was a statement.
Full Metal Jacket.
Yes.
Are clearly political movies, right?
Yes.
But they're war movies, but they're political movies.
They're making a statement.
And yeah, they're not, you know, not Bridge on the River Kwai or, you know, I'm trying to
Although
think of...
Although that made a statement.
It did, too. Right, exactly. And that's the thing. The best war movies were also mm-hmm. statements. And war is politics by other means, so you might generally say that war movies are political movies. And certainly most war movies have a political context. So you could make the case that war movies are political movies. 437-1620, Head of State with Chris Rock. I don't think I watched that.
That's awesome.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I like Chris Rock as a stand-up. I'm not such a fan of his movies generally, but as a stand-up, he's fantastic.
Yeah, go enjoy it with open mind.
Oh, Primary Colors with John Travolta replaced Clinton.
That's it. Yep,
quite good. Another one for Dave. People loved it. Okay, so here's a classic: Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, Jimmy Stewart.
Yes, Frank Capra. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and so this is kind of a side note of my love of that movie. The part about that movie that I love the most, it's the breakfast scene or lunch scene where they're sitting around the table talking about the Senate race. And the kids, who are all in, like, the Boy Scouts, are all expressing their opinions about which candidate has which strength, and they're debating. And the level of expectation that the average even child citizen of that era could participate in these conversations intelligently As opposed to, say, having memorized, you know, who's dating who in the celebrity right, scene or which influencer. Right. I mean, that's an aspirational. That movie's very aspirational about what America could
no
be.
No cell
about,
phones back then.
Exactly. I mean, it's a kind of a brilliant picture. My Fellow Americans. Okay, good one. The Campaign. Also good one. Sam Rockwell as Bush and Christian Bale in Vice. Excellent, excellent movies. Jack Lemmon, of course, My Fellow Americans. Somebody says, I saw Biden on SNL and he did a great job. Dana Carvey.
Last night, they had SNL.
Oh, from the that's right, the last night. That's
they
the,
did all the different skits.
The previous
there,
ones
hilarious.
From before. The question of the day is, what's your favorite political movie since it's Election Day? 437-1620. John Pickens has got Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barbary Plumbing. Hit 477-8782. No new accidents to let you know about right now, but we're still seeing some slowdowns going from East Milton into downtown Milton. Just congestion there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or trying to decide, you know, who to use, the realtor, get one that has experience. You know, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they sold 175 homes last year. That's a lot. I mean, that's 3.5 a week. That's a lot. And they're on track to do about the same this year. And what that means is that they have experience, not just encountering the problems, but solving the problems and overcoming them and getting to the close. And that means that they know how to avoid the problems because they've seen the problem and they know how to anticipate it. And also, the problems that come up that are novel, when you have enough experience solving them, you're better equipped to solve even the unforeseen ones. All of that comes into play, as opposed to somebody who, you know, and God bless them, people that sell 5 houses a year, you know, they have a certain level of experience and skill. And I don't have any problem with that. That's great. But, you know, what I want working for me is somebody who's an expert that knows how to do this stuff, that can advise me on what's normal, especially as the market changes, which it has changed a lot in the last couple of years. So you want somebody who's expert, really has the experience to solve things. 723-9158, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. All right, back to the text on the question of what's your favorite political movie, 437-1620, the South Park episode of School and Presidential, South Park in general, might be the best political movie there is. A Face in the Crowd. I don't know that one. It says an Andy Griffith movie. Is it a good one? Okay.
Yes.
No Way Out with Kevin Costner. Oh, that's a spy movie, and that is a great spy movie. I'm not sure about a political. I mean, it kind of is. Political adjacent. Clear and Present Danger, all the Jack Ryan movies. Okay. This might be. This is not really a political movie. It's more of a horror movie. Idiocracy. Idiocracy has become documentary. And therefore, Idiocracy has transformed from political satire into horror because you're watching the country. It's just, and if you have not seen Mike Judge's Idiocracy, oh, man. It definitely has electrolytes. It's got what plants crave. The Campaign, The Manchurian Candidate. Oh, that's good. The Manchurian Candidate's good. Another Idiocracy vote. Eddie Murphy, Distinguished Gentleman, I assume, is the one. They said they can't remember the name, but they must be Distinguished Gentleman. Somebody says American Made. Oh, that's a good one. That's all about the drug running with Tom Cruise. Enemy of the State. Oh, see, now y'all are branching out. These aren't exactly political movies, but they're political adjacent thrillers. And all of your conspiracy-oriented movies, oh, Wag the Dog. Yes, absolutely. Now, this has nothing to do with the B-3 bomber. What are you talking about? B-3 bomber, what's that? Like, that's genius, okay? American President with Michael Douglas and Annette Bening, quite good. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, quite good. This is, okay, I'm going to give you my kind of couple of them that come to mind for me. All the King's Men is fantastic. JFK, you know, here's my tops, my absolute top, because we've already mentioned some of my favorites. But here are my tops. Dr. Strangelove, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. I just watched that again over the weekend.
Wow.
That is one of the best, just, it's fantastically written, and it is an amazing, incisive commentary on nuclear deterrence and modern military and politics and terrifying movie, right? But that's a very, very good political movie. 12 Angry Men. You say, well, that's a movie about a jury.
Great movie.
No, that's a movie about American politics. I mean, yes, it's a movie about a jury. But if you want to understand the American electorate and the kinds of things that factor into people's decisions and their level of erudition or not and bias or not and willingness to ask the right questions or not, I mean, that's Meg, would you agree 12 Angry Men is a political movie?
It's one of my favorite plays as well.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's fantastic.
Absolutely. And I mean, a fantastic play. Then you get into ones where you might not think that these are exactly political movies, but I'm going to explain myself. Something like War Games.
I just was going to say War Games.
Were you?
Yes.
War Games
yes.
is a great political
because in
movie.
In the end,
yes.
nobody wins.
That's right.
That was so powerful.
And then you have movies like Minority Report. Dystopian movies are political movies, right?
I have one.
Go on.
Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
The first original.
The first,
when you
right,
see the Statue
right.
of Liberty
absolutely.
On the beach. Absolutely. Oh, I get goosebumps.
Way to ruin it for people.
Sorry.
Hunger Games.
Yes.
Hunger Games is a political movie, right? And then you get into like Mad Max or 1984, obviously, or Wall-E or They Live or even Running Man is a great political movie. You're like, well, these are sci-fi. The best sci-fi movies are all political movies. So it's not just things like The King's Speech or Lincoln or Frost Nixon or Gandhi is a political movie or, you know, JFK, obviously. But there are a lot of movies that wind up being political movies, even they don't normally kind of fall into the category exactly the way you would think about. So, you know, just wanted to do something about elections today and make you think about these great movies. Now you've got this massive list of all these movies. I was actually looking at the Hollywood Reporter's list of, I think it's 40 or more, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. I felt really bad. Like, this is my genre. This should be my jam. And I don't even know all these movies. 8:51 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Brayer, your councilwoman for the City of Pensacola, District 1. I am passionate about our community and have made sure our concerns are heard at City Hall. I'm accessible, out walking our neighborhoods and parks, and meeting with citizens to hear concerns about our district. I am always available and ready to listen, respond, and represent. We must continue to have a strong voice, so please re-elect me, your representative for the City of Pensacola. Paid for by Re-elect Jennifer Brayer, City of Pensacola, District 1.
Hi everybody, this is Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half-cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information. Paid for by Santa Rosa's Tomorrow Today.
This is Rich Holsnick, candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm running for our children, to protect their innocence, and to get back to educational basics without indoctrination. I'm a Naval Academy grad, 28-year Navy pilot, and former Desert Storm Task Group commander. I'm also proudly endorsed by former Superintendent Malcolm Thomas. Children are our hope and future. I will defend them as I did our nation. Vote Rich for School Board District 4.
Paid for by Rich Holsnick, candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
I'm Lisa Newell, and I'm running for Florida Senate against the recycled candidate Don Gates, who doesn't even live in our district. As a business owner for over 23 years, I'm fed up with the waste, corruption, and insider deals in Tallahassee. I'm running to fund public schools, increase teacher pay, promote smart growth that protects our environment, and reduces the property insurance rates that are crushing Floridians. Send the Gates is packing, and elect someone who actually cares about Northwest Florida. On or before November the 5th, vote Lisa Newell.
Paid for and approved by Lisa Newell, Democrat for Florida Senate, District 1.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Lesson number one. Don't underestimate the other guy's greed.
Yes, it is election day. 8:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's time to go have your vote be heard. Man, there's a lot of stuff on the ballot. This is, I'm worried about the wait times at the election. I am worried that we're going to get there and it's going to be, you know, everybody's reading the ballot for the first time. Because if you go into the booth and you read the ballot for the first time, you're going to be a half hour or more. Or you're just not going to vote on the issues. I mean, you can't digest them. They're too complicated. That's why we did the podcast, because it's too much, right? Mike Wiggins is here. Would you agree with that? Like, first time doing a ballot, if you haven't read the ballot and thought about the amendments, absolutely, there's no way. You can't get, I mean.
Even if you read it, you might not understand.
Yeah, put them on the mic. Put them on the mic.
I was going to say, even if you're reading it for the first time, you really need some of it, some explanation.
Yeah, the ballot language is so inadequate for most of them, you know, frankly. I mean, certainly for Amendments 3 and probably 4. I mean, 4 is maybe not a terrible summary for the abortion one, but for some of them, you definitely need the actual language, especially for 3. John Pickens got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. We're seeing slowdowns right now on I-10 eastbound as you approach the Highway 29 construction zone. But other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So I will say this. I'll give you a bit of help. Okay, here's my help. If you go to the ballot, go to the booth today, and you have not thought in advance about the amendments, vote no on all of them. Because you should always vote no on the amendments unless you're absolutely sure you should vote yes. Even the governor yesterday gave that same message, which is true. Oh, by the way, I've been wanting to share this, and I just haven't really had a chance. Yesterday with the governor, we had, you guys are killing me. Yesterday with the governor, I learned something that I did not know when we were talking. It has nothing to do with the elections, but I thought it was a really interesting moment because we were talking about his name pronunciation, which he says DeSantis and everybody else says DeSantis. We're talking to Governor DeSantis. Everybody says it DeSantis. I know you say DeSantis. I try to say the way you say, but I don't always succeed. Does that ever bother you, Governor DeSantis, that people say DeSantis instead of DeSantis?
No, that honestly is the normal pronunciation. It's just, you know, when I'm like people like will look me up online or go to my website, they will spell it D-I or D-A with that pronunciation. And so I just got in a habit of when I'm giving out my information, you know, that I try to say it the way it's spelled. But DeSantis is basically the way that it's typically said.
I never knew that. So, okay. So you did that. You say it wrong on purpose so people can spell it right. That's so fascinating. All right. I didn't know that. I've never heard anybody ever ask him the question. And yet that makes sense. I would have a hard time mispronouncing my own name in order to get people to say it right when they're looking in Google. But, you know, okay, I think it's a fascinating answer. So it's 8:57 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, let's do future news. We haven't done future news in a while, John, so let's do it here because we got a lot to talk about when it comes to future news. You got the Back to the Future music? There we go. All right, cool. When will we know? Tonight or not tonight?
Not tonight.
I think we will know tonight.
Okay. I hope so.
And here's my theory on this. So will we have a concession speech tonight?
No.
You say no. I say yes. Here, pull down just a little bit. Here's my theory on this. I think it's actually going to be a big victory. Now, I'm suspicious it's going to be for Trump because I think all the polling is wrong. It could be for Kamala Harris. I don't know. But total intuition, I can't justify it with facts other than that polling is often wrong. And who gets called on these polls? I don't ever get a call, and I don't answer it even if I did. So
me either.
Most people don't. So I don't know the statistical support for these polls. In the past, yes. With landlines, yes. In the modern era, I don't buy them. Okay, so Amendment 1. Actually, let's do the big one. Amendment 3 on marijuana. Passes or doesn't pass? Pass 60%.
Pass. I hate to say it, but
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. I think so. I'm horrible. Amendment 4, abortion with almost no limits. I think that does not pass. And that's really, I hope it doesn't pass, but man. Milton. Seriously. Like, Milton's a big deal. We got 4 members of city council, part of the 6-2 majority.
Mm-hmm.
And if any 2 of those seats flip, you now have Heather Lindsay's going to be running the show because she'll be the tie-breaking vote. She'll be the Kamala Harris of the Milton City Council. I've said it before. I don't mind saying it. Anyway, so do you think that 2 seats flip or more?
I think more.
I think so, too.
I really do.
I think so, too. I just think people are fed up with incumbents. I don't think it's particularly a reflection on those incumbents. I just think people generally are fed up with incumbents. And so, which would mean then Ed Spears and Alex Andrade get, you know, not asked back to the party, right? Now, it could be the other way around, but, you know, we'll see. That's going to be a big one. And then local option sales tax. Escambia for the schools, passes or doesn't pass?
Pass.
I think it probably does. Local option sales tax in Santa Rosa County,
pass
because it also gets the impact fees with it. I'm going to say it fails.
Ooh.
Santa Rosa County has been so anti-tax for so often that I don't think it passes. But I have given up predicting Santa Rosa County politics. You know, anything can happen in Santa Rosa County. We are on at 7 o'clock with live coverage tonight. Tune in.
You're listening to